CCTA wake-up call for March 4th and 5th, 2023.
Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA wake-up call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and tonight we have Bob and Mary Griswold with us.
Hello.
Hello.
We have Glenn Fink.
Hello.
And Alan Harrop.
Greetings.
Glenn and Alan are on CCTA's Education Committee. They keep up with what's going on with our Board of Education and what's going on around the school system in general. And we pulled them in tonight because we have a House bill that was on today's House calendar, and today is Thursday. And the bill is House Bill 253, and the bill is... short title is Prevent Students from Harm Act, and it's a bill, an act to incorporate character education in addressing bullying and harassing behavior, to authorize experienced nonprofits to provide child sexual abuse and sex trafficking training programs for educators, and to provide age-appropriate information and resources on prevention of suicide, abuse, and neglect as part of the health education curriculum. And part one of this bill, you know, is going to sound real good to most people, and it sounds good to me too, but I can't help but notice that the biggest part of that is stuff that when I was a kid going to school was just you took it to school with you. You didn't have to go to school to get it. It was part of what you learned as a family unit and going to church and the community in general. If mom and dad didn't enforce it, neighbors and grandma would enforce it, you know. And that is number one, courage, having determination to do the right thing even when others don't, and the strength to follow your conscience rather than the crowd and attempting difficult things that are worthwhile. Well, that's a good one. Good judgment, choosing worthy goals and setting proper priorities, thinking through the consequences of your actions and basing decisions on practical wisdom and good sense. That's good. Integrity. Having the inner strength to be truthful, trustworthy, and honest in all things, acting justly and honorably. Well, that's a lot of that is part of the Boy Scout oath that I took when I was in the Boy Scouts. Trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, all those things you learned when the Boy Scouts were Boy Scouts. Okay, and then kindness, being considerate, courteous, helpful, and understanding of others, showing care, compassion, friendship, and generosity, and treating others as you would like to be treated. Well, that's a general rule. I mean, everybody knew that. Perseverance, being persistent in the pursuit of worthy objectives in spite of difficulty, opposition, or discouragement, and exhibiting patience and having the fortitude to try again when confronted with delays, mistakes, or failures. And respect, showing high regard for authority for other people, for self, for property, and for country, and understanding that all people have value as human beings. Now, your grandmama would make sure you knew that one. Responsibility, being dependable in carrying out obligations and duties, showing reliability and consistency in words and conduct, and being accountable for your own actions, and being committed to active involvement in your community. Number eight is self-discipline, demonstrating hard work and commitment to purpose, regulating yourself for improvement and restraining from inappropriate behaviors, being in proper control of your words, actions, impulses, and desires, choosing abstinence from premarital sex, drugs, alcohol, and other harmful substances and behaviors, and doing your best in all situations. In addition to the instruction under subsection A of this section, local boards shall include instruction on the following responsibilities: respect for school personnel, responsibility for school safety, service to others, and good citizenship. So we'll stop right there. We won't go into the next section yet, but I can't help but believe or remember that these are things that were taught at home and taught in the church, and the school reinforced them. When you went to school, those things were reinforced. You didn't have to depend on the school to teach you those things.
Rick, when were they actually taken out of the school system? When was there a declaration you can't teach these things?
Well,
I believe there was. So
it was when you took God out. When you wanted all reference to God removed from the schools, and then you started taking the flag out, and you took all these things that you're talking about out of the schools. Mm.
But one of the things that concerns me, whenever I see a bill that looks in some ways to be positive, I always like to step back and say, or think to myself, what is behind this? Particularly in the context of the world we're living in today. We are living in a world where our traditional values, our country is being assaulted from the left to make it into a Marxist type of environment. And one of the tenets of Marxism is the diminishing of the family and the emphasis of the government, and in this case, the government schools, actually taking over the role of the parent.
Absolutely.
And I think that's one of the things that I was struck with when I first started reading this, is we are, as you indicated, Rick, we are replacing, potentially replacing, the family with instruction by the schools, which the parents don't control. And you either believe that the parents should be in charge of their children, or you believe, like Hillary Clinton said, you takes a village to raise a child. I personally don't believe in that, and I think regardless of the specifics that might have some positive view, we always have to keep that in mind. It's like the Medicaid expansion bill that they just passed in the General Assembly. If you look at that, you always find some positive things about it, but you have to look at it in the context, where does this fit in our going down the road to Marxism or remaining an independent, traditional culture that we've had this country for over 250 years?
Right. I agree, Mary.
I think what this reflects is the fact that parents are not necessarily working with the schools anymore to reinforce these values. It used to be if you got in trouble at school, you came home, you were in trouble at school. You were in trouble at home also. Now it's a lot of parents, unfortunately, well, my child wouldn't do that. Well, your child did do that. So that the kid is getting mixed messages and isn't learning the principles that they need to learn. So I think it's a reflection of the lack of unity between the parents and the school. And until we have that unity, all the laws in the world probably are not going to make a lot of difference.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, in reviewing this to get ready, a lot of this was already in statute. I mean, the statute that the courage, good judgment, if you look at it, only the underlying stuff is the things are changing. But it seems subtle, but it's not. Because in the beginning of this, it says the instruction shall be incorporated into the standard curriculum and should address the following traits. That's what it used to say. What it says now is that this has to be in the standard curriculum at all grade levels. So you don't just teach it once. It has to take away from academic teachings to teach this in right. every single grade rather than making sure you cover it when it's appropriate.
All right.
So they're directing, again, legislators are directing it. There's very subtle changes to this whole thing, to be honest. If you look across, most of it's already statute, but that's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
That's a huge deal right
because
there.
Because during the CCTA education forum a week or two ago, there was a long poem like read of all the things and duties that a teacher has to do during the day, and there's no time left over for education, and now you're going to heap being their parents on top of it.
Yeah, but all these were still requirements It's just how often you got to reinforce it is one of the key changes in this legislation.
Right.
Do they have to give up something else in order to teach this?
Well, you sure you do. It's a zero-sum game on time.
Yeah. That was my question, was how are they going to implement and do this? I think that the authors of the bill are very well-intentioned, and they've come up with good things here. But again, how do you make it work? The kids, you bring them to school. If you are able to implement this and go through with it, when they leave school and they go back to a house that has no values, mm-hmm. that doesn't care about any of these things because they haven't been teaching their kids that anyway, what's the kid going to do? He's going to revert back to his family environment or the street culture that he's out in or whatever.
Or the television and internet culture.
Right, yeah.
One of the ways that might help, if you wanted to implement this, would be to look at your textbooks. And for instance, in your reading stories, have them deal with stories that deal with positive role models. Have them deal with strong positive characters. And in your history, focus on the good stuff and focus on character issues and integrity issues in your English and your social studies, which unfortunately is not going on right now.
Right. Well, I think that, like I said, they were well-intentioned. It's a good thing to have, but why is it necessary? We need to go back and when we look back at previous generations, that this was not an issue.
Because we had intact families,
right.
And we had families that had values. We lost our values in the late 60s, and we won't get them back probably until the next generation because they're starting to rebel against this craziness.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
The God and Country Christian Alliance has a simple mission, but it is a profound one. They want to inform and educate the public on issues of moral and political concern. They want to restore the Judeo-Christian values upon which this nation was founded to all levels of government. And they want to encourage and activate pro-family voters. Simple, but not easy. The God and Country Christian Alliance meets the third Monday of every month at Moore's Barbecue on MLK in New Bern. Meetings begin promptly at 7 p.m. and end by 8:30. To enjoy dinner with the group before the meeting, arrive between 6 and 6:30. Both the food and the company are good. Meetings include speakers and discussion, and their annual banquets are legendary. Join them on the third Monday of each month for a refreshingly candid view of the world and our place in it.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have guests from our education committee here tonight, Glenn Fink and Alan Harrop, and we're discussing this House bill that's just come out today. Well, I think it's been out, but it was on the House calendar today. House Bill 253, the Prevent Students from Harm Act. I have to ask, what about the teachers, Preventing Teachers from Harm Act? Because some of these students, this is just probably going to cause them to act out against the teacher more.
I don't know whether you saw that incident that occurred. Sure, it was in Texas. I think it was in Florida. Where a student who was deprived of his
Xbox
control or something, completely lost it and attacked and beat this his teacher to unconsciousness. Those kinds of things, exactly what you're talking about.
50-some-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the thing that troubles me also about this is the fact that once you turn over your socialization of your children to the government, now this might be very well-intentioned, it might have a lot of good things, but you cannot predict in the future who's going to be controlling the content of this.
Right.
And then they might come up with a lot of this woke stuff they introduced because they now have the authority to socialize and develop the character of our children. We've given that to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can very easily lose control of it. And when you go down that road, how do you get it back? Then your children, you don't recognize your children because when they come back, it's like sending your kids off to college now. They come back, you don't recognize them because of what they're being exposed to, which is not something that you wanted them exposed to, but they're getting it nonetheless.
All right. That's one of the things I was going to get into here in a few minutes is when you look at some of the verbiage, what it can actually mean depending on who's interpreting it.
Yes.
I was going to say, in this litigious society, let's say a teacher is not able to discipline one of the children or at least instruct the children to following this. Is that teacher liable for not disciplining the child or whatever else? I mean, and remember, and this is a litigious society, we're going to have a lawyer that's going to come up and sue the school department because the teacher didn't do this or whatever else. I mean, we need basic discipline, right, which right now we lack.
So how do you teach a kid like you're talking about that just beat that teacher into unconsciousness?
Well,
obviously has no respect. How are you going to bring them into a classroom in their teenage years and change a lifelong history of them not having any respect for their elders?
And I think therein lies the crux of the problem. I would bet everything I have that individual had a history of problems in school.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He didn't go along as a pro-social student and all of a sudden attack his teacher. And the problem is, it's the permissiveness. Mm-hmm. It's the failure to enforce a code of conduct in the classroom right from the beginning. And, more traditional ways of doing things, children who acted out in the lower grades were disciplined. I remember growing up, we had our hands slapped with rulers. We were made to stand up in the corner. We were socially embarrassed. Now, the teachers are not allowed to do that.
All right.
Because you can't socially embarrass a child because that's not acceptable. You can't single them out.
Right.
So all those effective techniques have been withdrawn from the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So the teachers now are vulnerable. I suspect that that's one of the primary reasons why teachers are leaving the profession.
It is.
Like in Craven County, I understand there's 75 vacant positions for teachers in the Craven County schools alone. And I would like, is one of the things that I'm concerned about, I would think there ought to be some sort of an independent survey. Why are they leaving?
Yep.
What's the problem? You can't solve a problem if you don't know what the problem is.
Right. Well, like I said, I believe this was all well-intentioned. But over the years, they have taken their tools for being able to accomplish this, like you're pointing out now. They took away all their authority and their tools to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
by the social engineering programs.
Well, I had a call from my oldest daughter this afternoon. And interesting, we started talking about her youngest daughter who's in kindergarten. And the kindergarten teacher had contacted my daughter and said, your daughter's having some problems and so on and so forth. She's doing this, few things, very minor, but she was doing these things. What the teacher wanted to do is have her referred for ADD diagnosis, having a deficit disorder, and put on medication.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daughter said, what are the behaviors? She would not even elaborate or list the behaviors. She just had concluded, this teacher, she needs to be put on medication. So again, when you turn this stuff over to the schools, you don't know who's going to be in control of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
again, looking here at Section 1B, policy against bullying or harassing behavior. Now, when you look here, the former language of the bill was back when they first did this. Before December 31st of 2009, is struck out, and it's been changed to say each local school administrative unit shall adopt and implement a policy prohibiting bullying or harassing behavior. So back in 2009, the verbiage was before December 31st of 2009, they would accomplish this. Well, obviously, they either didn't do it or it didn't work, because now they're addressing it again. And my first thought was, well, don't we already have something in place for that? Well, yeah, this answers the question. It was in there.
The problem here is the definitions of bullying and harassing behavior. I remember a little boy in, I think it was kindergarten or first grade a couple of years ago, who went up to a little girl and gave her a hug and was charged with sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, little kids hug each other. And sometimes they hug other little kids that might not want to be hugged. It's part of being a little kid. And this is ridiculous. The other thing I wanted to mention was taking the tools away from the teachers happened at the same time there was a movement among parents that you don't discipline your children because Dr. Spock says so. So it was a double whammy on the teachers. Not only were their tools taken away, they were given a generation that had been raised without discipline. I mean, it wasn't fair.
Well, there's plenty of information in our school system about policy on discipline and bullying. There's a table, there's a phase one, phase two, phase three. I mean, we've got plenty of structure around discipline, whether in phase two and phase three or level two and level three, both have bullying in it. The issue seems to be in our school culture is there is a tendency to not apply discipline when it's needed.
Why?
Well, some of it's because of losing ADM if they do out-of-school suspensions and that sort of thing. They lose money because of that. I don't know what further than that is the primary driver, but I think that's a big part of it. I think the teachers don't feel like their administrators are going to back them up if they do take on the disciplinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I think it's like a Wild West in our schools right now.
And some of it is when you get into the upper grades, 11, 12, fear of retribution. You've got a 50-some-year-old teacher standing up there in front of the classroom, and you're telling her she's got to discipline the biggest bully in there that weighs 185 pounds and, 5'11 or whatever, and has already got a record of being violent or, unruly.
I'd like to kind of comment on what Mary had brought up about the definitions. If you go on this site, it's called stopbullying.gov, okay?
Okay.
And they list some of the things that classify as bullying. Teasing. Name-calling. Taunting. Leaving someone out on purpose. So if you select a team and you leave somebody out, that qualifies as bullying. telling other children not to be friends with someone, spreading rumors about someone, embarrassing someone in public. This is so broad,
yep. And
so ridiculously broad, there's no way that you can, first of all, agree on it, identify what it is. And so therefore, we're going to hold, like what you were saying, hold the teachers accountable for dealing with it when it can be behaviors that are just normal part of growing up and things that we all need to learn how to deal with. The idea that we can protecting your children from things they're going to experience in life is the wrong strategy. The strategy should be teach them how to deal with it.
Right.
When I was growing up, if somebody said something to you, we used to use that phrase,
I'm rubber, you're glue.
Things like that. But we used to say, sticks and stones can hurt my bones, but words can never hurt me. And so if somebody says something nasty to you, you say something nasty back. And it simmers down. You don't call this a behavior. Now the teachers have to intercede. And if they don't, like you said, Bob, it might very well be that they'd be held accountable for not following this new law.
Well, go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say it's interesting that now any recreation period has to be a managed recreation period, managed by an adult. Because now I'm going to show my age. Because when I was growing up, and we'd go off, we'd be gone for the day, and we'd be working with each other, and we had problems, but we worked them out with each other.
Exactly.
I mean, may have had a fight or two with some friends of mine, but I got to tell you, at the end of the day, we still ended up friends.
Yeah.
And now you see everything is managed, that you're not allowed to offend that person. And really, somehow those people have to get over it themselves.
Instead of teaching children to be tough and to deal with life as it's presented to them, we're teaching them to be snowflakes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Everything that happens is, if it's not exactly perfect, if it hurts your little feelings, then you have a cause of complaint. Now you put in a bullying complaint. The school's going to be just inundated with all this nonsense.
And what happens to these kids when they go out into the business world? Really?
Not just the business, when they go out into the world.
World.
Period.
But I mean, when you get a job, you might get a bad review, or you might have to deal with a boss that doesn't like you, or you may have, you're going to have situations that are not all beds of roses.
That's right.
So how are these kids prepared for that? Well, I'm going to HR.
Yeah. Or you move into your first apartment, you're out on your own and you got an unruly neighbor that's just giving you heck. Okay. How do you deal with it? You don't know.
Well, I have a grandson that he's 10 years old and he plays soccer. And he was told by his coach, don't score too many goals because you'll make the other players feel bad.
Yep. Yep. Mm.
That's the kind of message they're getting.
Right.
And if you do your best and you outperform someone else, you are taking advantage of them. I don't know whether they call it bullying yet, but that'll be the next step. This embarrassing somebody in public could probably qualify.
Right.
That's awful.
Yeah, that's what he was told.
Well, again, the policy here shall contain at a minimum the following preventative components. And I'm going to jump down here to this one. Consequences and appropriate remedial action for a person who commits an act of bullying or harassment, which may include additional high-quality instruction on the traits and responsibilities of character education. Now, that's going to put an end to it.
Yeah, that will, yeah.
I'm sure.
That's all new verbiage in the bill. That's new verbiage in the bill.
Well, as long as you can discipline that third grader or whoever else to look at General Statute 115C.8160,
it gets worse.
Right.
Participation in a conflict resolution or mediation model.
Yep.
Good grief. I'm sorry. Kids on the playground, when left alone, will practice a form of conflict resolution called I bopped you on the head because you insulted me.
Right.
Well, again, they will work it out that way.
I want you to look carefully at the verbiage. Responsibilities of what? Character education. Now, is that why we're sending our kids to school, is to get character education?
How do you educate character?
And what kind of job are you going to be able to get with it?
See, we have gone so far, or we've put so much stuff on the schools. The schools originally were to teach academic excellence and subjects. Now we put so much on these schools and these school teachers, and what's happening is the academic education is falling apart.
Right.
And now we're going to add something new, something that has to be carefully monitored, because you, like you said, Bob, you could make a mistake and then somebody turns around and sues you and says, you didn't deal with my son. My son was bullied and you didn't handle it properly, so therefore you're in trouble.
You're in trouble, yeah.
All right, well, let's take another quick break to hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we are talking about education and a new bill that's out there, House Bill 253, and that is short titled Prevent Students from Harm Act. And I want to jump back down here to the section one, to the last item in that, which is to the extent funds are appropriated for these purposes, more money being thrown at a problem, a local school administrative unit shall provide training on the local policy to school employees and volunteers who have significant contact with students. Now, you're throwing more money that we don't have at a problem, and you're going to provide more training, which is going to take more time out of the teacher's schedule, because now she's got another thing she's got to go to. And I don't know, it just, it's we keep wanting to throw solutions out there that don't, on
They're
the surface, look
the
like
problem.
You're going
to,
yeah.
Now, question, we're looking at the modifications. Are these modifications to an existing law?
Everything they reference.
Okay.
90% of what's here is already the law.
Right. Right.
95% of
it. So, looking at it to the extent the funds are appropriated for this, which, because that's not modified, I guess they should already be there for that purpose. So the question is, what are we trying to pile on to whose back?
Right. And, you bring up a good point, because it's already there and not working. So these changes, are they going to really accomplish anything? I don't see it here.
I think when I reviewed this, that was the thing that I got to. One, they want to spend more time on it, take away from academics, but they're just nibbling around the edges of something that's not going to solve the problem at all. This bill will accomplish nothing. Absolutely. I don't see it. In some areas, you could say, well, that could end up potentially biting us in some way, the few changes that they made. But in general, it's just not going to accomplish anything. We're wasting our time on this bill.
Well, when a child graduates, will they be able to do a checkbook? Because right now, I know a lot of kids that have no idea what a checkbook looks like. I realize that they've all got the credit cards or debit cards or whatever else. They have no idea how to make out a check. We are aware of a person that was going out for a baseball being signed by one of the minor league teams, had no idea how to write his own signature.
Yeah, they don't teach them cursive anymore.
No.
Yeah. Most schools don't.
So will this help them with their character development in cursive? No.
Yeah, like we've all been, I think, saying, this is going to divert schools further away from the purpose that schools were originally intended.
Right.
And the other thing I think is important is the society, for the past 40 years, has directed parents incorrectly in terms of how they discipline their children.
Mm-hmm.
There's an interesting book that I just finished the other night. It was referenced at the CCTA meeting. And the title of it is Parenting by the Book by John Rosenman. And he, interestingly, like myself, was a trained clinical psychologist. And he started off following the typical new way of disciplining your kids. And pretty soon he found it wasn't working. He completely changed. And this approach is more traditional discipline that we were all exposed to when we were growing up by our parents, our grandparents, and it has an interesting biblical context in which he goes back to looks at things in the Bible, which has served as a good guide for behavior for eons. And that's the kind of thing that it would be interesting, instead of getting the teachers to become the parents of the kids, why don't we teach parents to become better parents by giving them permission, giving them information that would allow them to more effectively discipline their children, so when they come to school, they respect the teacher, they do what they're told, they don't act out. The things that we did, and I think that's the approach. That's the only thing that's going to solve it. You can't make the teachers the parents.
No,
you got to make the parents better parents.
Are we back to the point when we had our education forum and we talked about one of the major things that would improve our schools was more parent involvement? Not only do we need more parent involvement in our schools, we need more parent involvement in parenting.
Yes, I agree. That's exactly what I'm saying. And we need a mechanism by which we can get better parenting techniques to the parents that want to be good parents.
Yes.
And I think most parents want to be good parents.
I think you want
to
raise
a
good...
They're afraid to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid, I don't want to hurt my child's feelings. I'm going to damage their self-esteem. I don't want to do all these this psychological BS that they've been fed over the past 40, 50 years.
Is there another aspect, too, that if a child goes to school and says, my father spanked me, that somebody's going to call the DES?
Well, I think that's what this training about recognizing child abuse would do. The staff at the school would have to report that and would have to follow up on that. And if the teacher disagreed with, parents have a right to spank their kids. That's just the way it is.
Right.
But if the teacher doesn't agree with it, they report it as child abuse.
That's the point there, is that so much of this language is subjective to who's interpreting it.
Exactly.
What's child abuse to you is normal parenting to me. Who defines that, Glenn?
Well, and I don't know what the acronym stands for, but PPP is a program that Christy, who's been on this show, really identified, made the connection with our current school board to, and it is all about that parenting. It's a process to work with the child and the parents. And unfortunately, it hasn't seen any traction yet.
Right.
But there is a program. It has been introduced. Hopefully, it's going to be on a as identified basis. It won't fix all parents for all things, but I think that'll be a good step if we can get some traction with that.
A different challenge that we see now, of course, is the absent father in many, many families. But I also remember growing up, and if my father was off at work, but my next door neighbor said, you know what? You shouldn't do that.
Yep.
And
that's what I was saying. The community
was willing to help.
And now the community does not want to get involved because there's legal litigation problems there. Okay. Anyway, it's a much bigger problem than what's being attacked here, because my wife and I were talking before I came over here. Reflecting back to when we were growing up, we got it in the church. We got taught these things at home. We got taught, like you said, by the neighbors. People in the neighborhood would, I'm going to tell your mama or I'm going to tell your daddy if you don't stop that, Or some of them would grab you by the scruff of your neck and drag you over
Bring
to
you
the
home.
House, knock on the door, and you were going to catch it one way or the other. So, and that's when I've talked about it on the show before. Back then we had community standards, okay? And anyway, it's a much bigger problem. We talked about how when you came home from school and you did your homework and you sat down at the dinner table with your parents and you had dinner, and then you might go sit down and watch Andy Griffith or one of those shows where you were getting reinforced again by those values. Okay, respect for others. I mean, little Opie, he called it when he stepped out of line. So let's jump on to part two here. Authorization of experienced nonprofits. Now, there again, that's subjective. What is an experienced nonprofit? To provide child sexual abuse and sex trafficking training programs for educators. What kind of experience? What kind of nonprofit? I mean, we've got people out there now that would think nonprofit LGBT group is experienced, and they might want them to do it. I don't know.
This specifically says 10 years of experience providing research-based child. That's easy to say, but how does that really define their experience? And I agree, what's their agenda? My concern on this is what's the agenda of that group that's coming in to help?
Right.
And even if they might fix one problem, they're very likely to start another problem in my mind.
Right. You can find some out there that have 10 years of experience. And what they've concluded in that 10 years of experience is, kids are ready to have sex as early as 8 years old.
Or they have 1 year of experience 10 times.
Yeah.
you're looking at this. You're looking at this sentence where local law enforcement officers or other officers of the court, blah, 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 blah. It keeps going on. I am reminded that a camel was a horse designed by a committee. Okay. And really what I'm seeing in that sentence is they're going to spread it so far that nobody is responsible for raising the child. The person that's responsible is the parent is responsible. And they're putting all these other people in the way that, it's not my fault. It's not my fault.
Yeah. And, there's again, getting back to what I said initially, what is the agenda behind these efforts? For example, there is a program being promulgated by the federal government now that would grant funds to each school district to hire a mental health professional for each school. And the idea behind this, I guess, is that this mental health counselor would be on staff. Now we have the schools, not only are they being distracted from doing academics, now they're given a legitimate role to be mental health counselors. Now you're going to get these people to come in, and which side of the spectrum are they going to be on? Are they going to be conservative side? No. They're going to be out to the left side, and they're going to be counseling these kids. That's not the school's job. If some child is acting out and there's a suspected problem, they notify the parent, let the parent know there's mental health resources in the community. They take them to the mental health center. It does not, should not become a responsibility of school now, the mental health of the students. That's right. Not the school's job.
Well, they're going to teach them how to do that. Down here at the end of this, the requirement is that all school personnel who work with students in grades kindergarten through 12 shall receive 2 hours of training consistent with this section in even-numbered years in 2020.
Beginning in 2020. Okay.
Well, yeah, beginning in 2020.
But if you go into that next paragraph, it gives them a legal waiver to not be accountable
right.
for anything that they do.
Right.
I mean, you've got more language in this that says, oh, by the way, no matter whether we're trained or not, if something doesn't go right, I'm not accountable or liable.
All right. Well, we need to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call Charles Grover at 252-637-2399 or stop by the shop on 17 South in New Bern. Torque can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they can rebuild your transmission if that's what you prefer. See Torque for a variety of minor automotive repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pump. You can count on Torque Transmission and Automotive Repair.
Hey folks, here's a tip. When you think firearms and ammo, think East 70 Palm. They've been on Highway 70 east of New Bern across from the fairgrounds for 31 years. Drew Preston and his staff know firearms. Gun sales have tripled in under a year, and women shooters are the fastest growing part of their business. Their great inventory, over 300 guns in stock, changes daily. And if you want something they don't have, they'll look for it. New and used, rifles, shotguns, and pistols, buy, sell, or trade. And they also have many holsters, scopes, and other gun accessories. Every member of the staff is deeply knowledgeable, and every one of them is an excellent shooter. So don't just come for the inventory. Come for the thoughtful advice. East 70 Palm, your home for firearms, ammo, and answers. Highway 70 East, New Bern, across from the fairgrounds.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition of the Moore's family for over 70 years. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked to order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week in New Bern, Winterville, Moorhead City, Swansboro, and Jacksonville. Moore's will cater and deliver anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, again, we have Alan Harrop with us here and Glenn Fink and Bob and Mary Griswold, and we're discussing this House bill. And I'm going to jump down to part three, which is provide age-appropriate information and resources on prevention of suicide, abuse, and neglect as part of the health education curriculum. Okay. Define age-appropriate. What age is it appropriate? I mean, who's going to be the arbiter of that and make that decision as to whether it's age appropriate or not?
Well, we know where the left heads with this, because they're saying it's age appropriate to start telling kindergartners and first graders they could be any gender they want.
Right.
So their judgment for what's age appropriate is already flawed.
Well, I think the other thing on age appropriate, apparently a couple of days ago, there was an 11-year-old that was reading a pornographic book before the school committee because the school library had given him this porno book.
Yep.
And he was reading it.
And said, if you want more like this, we have them.
Yeah. Well, you jump down to A under this, and it says, comprehensive health education instruction shall be developed and taught to students from kindergarten through ninth grade. So evidently, you've already identified that it's appropriate starting in kindergarten.
Starting in kindergarten.
Okay. And you go on down a little bit more, and it lists the things they want to accomplish there. The State Board of Education through Department of Public Instruction shall on a regular basis review materials related to these objectives and distribute these reviews to local school administrative units. The program includes, again, age-appropriate instruction in the following subject areas, regardless of whether this instruction is described as or incorporated into a description of family life education, family health education, family living, health, or healthful living curriculum, or self-esteem. I don't think they covered everything on the face of the planet, but they tried. Number one, mental and emotional health, including resources, skills, and strategies for suicide prevention. Number two, drug and alcohol abuse prevention. Number three, nutrition. Number four, dental health. Number five, environmental health. Number six, family living. Number seven, consumer health. Number eight, disease control. Number nine, growth and development. And number 10, first aid and emergency care, including teaching of cardiopulmonary resuscitation. So these are all good things that kids need to learn probably. Getting down to number 11, preventing sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV and AIDS. Number 12, reproductive health and safety education. Number 13, bicycle safety, and number 14, abuse and neglect prevention, including sexual abuse that is age-appropriate, sexual abuse.
Rick, the reminder is this was for kindergarten through ninth grade.
That's my point. That's okay. My whole point here is is determining what is age-appropriate for your kindergarten student out of that list of things there.
And the amazing thing about it is that listening to you read that list, my thought was, I don't think I could name something that's not included as a school responsibility.
Right.
What's left that was not included, have it all.
I got English, math, history.
Right.
None of that was included. Right. Yeah.
How did bicycle safety get in there?
Well, that you haven't heard, there's an epidemic of unsafe bicycles. Didn't you see the president fall off the bicycle?
I mean, how did bicycle safety?
Because you can add anything you
want.
Are
we going to have skateboard safety?
Yes.
Roller skating safety?
Absolutely.
Rollerblading safety?
Swimming safety, all of it. I mean, it's all up to the schools.
Pickleball safety? I don't know.
Parents have no responsibility. It's all the Marxist responsibility by the schools.
Quick aside on the bicycle safety up in Massachusetts. They passed a helmet law for kids. Bicycle helmet law, that you must wear a helmet.
On your tricycle.
On your tricycle. And the penalty of the law is, a breaking the law, is there is no penalty. They made no provision for any penalty. You have to wear it, but there's no provision if you don't.
All right. So we're talking about training on these subjects. Let's look at family living. Okay. What is the family model that you're going to teach them on? Is it going to be like I grew up with, the family eats together, they participate in things together, there's a mom and a dad both in the home, that would not fit all of the students, would it? And then so you'd be bullying because you'd be intentionally leaving somebody out.
You're discriminating.
Right. So how do you get around all this? I don't know. Disease control. That's something all kindergartners up through ninth grade need to know, is how to control disease. We had some basic health when I was in school, but we didn't have to deal with all this.
Rick, going back to number three, nutrition.
Yes.
Okay. I can remember in school, Friday was a great day because it was pizza day. And now it was a flat piece of pizza that
was cardboard with cheese on it.
With cheese on it. But that was great. And now we've had the
more modern, and I'm going to go back to the Obama days when
salads
when they had the salads or whatever else that all ended up in the trash.
Yeah. Well, jump down to number four, dental health. You know how I got my dental health training? Before I walked out the door, did you brush your teeth?
Yeah.
Let me look at your ears.
Yeah.
By your parents, not by your teacher.
Right.
That's right.
You didn't have to do a tooth inspection when you got to school, I guess.
And you're right. You're bringing it back to the parent.
And, cardiopulmonary resuscitation and the Heimlich maneuver.
Kindergartner? I'm giving you a break.
Even for a ninth grader. I mean, now some ninth graders would be capable of doing that maybe, but do you really want some student that really doesn't know what's wrong with you jumping on you
well,
to perform?
Well, I'm thinking that when our kids, one of our kids passed lifeguard training when she was about 15, and CPR was part of that.
Appropriately so.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Appropriately yes. So.
But that's kind of not necessarily the norm. That's a specific reason for it.
Yeah.
All right, and then we'll jump down to B here. This is another red flag to me. Maintain documentation in an electronic database that students have successfully completed CPR instruction to meet healthful living essential standards. Here we are again collecting data in a database.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to require successful completion of instruction in CPR to be a requirement for high school graduation by the 2014-2015 school year. Now, see, they didn't change those dates or anything. So I don't know. Like I said, I think maybe the authors of the bill were well-intentioned, but it just has too many red flags and questions.
So you know what they say about the good intentions where they lead.
Yes.
It can often lead to places you don't want to go. And no. I think this is a perfect example, putting too much on the schools, not focusing on their what they should be focusing on.
All right. Absolutely. Well, Alan and Glenn, I thank you for coming tonight.
Certainly welcome.
Your participation.
Rick, enjoyed it.
And that's all the time, folks, we have for today's show. Hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll come back and join us again next week for CCTA Wake Up Call.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government. to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.